I'm Chuki, and just a couple of quick notes before we get started. Geshe-la should be arriving in just a couple of minutes, and when he comes in, we'll all stand and some of us prostrate, but for any of you who are new, don't feel at all like you need to do that. Once we get started, we'll have a little shorter program today than usual because we're going to have our annual membership meeting that starts at 11:30. And whether you're a member or not, you're very welcome to stay and learn a little bit more about the state of Kadampa Center. So, just a quick reminder that if you have anything that might make noise during today, you might want to mute it. I don't think I have anything else. Does anybody have any questions before we get started? Okay, I'm going to read the prayer list, and then we'll just be sitting and waiting for Geshe-la to come. So, prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters, for all those killed by others or by their own hands, David Bowie, Dolly Coleman, Annie Dunhill, Mary Hamilton, Michael M. Miladonis, L.P. Oliver, Solovino, Anita Gorecki, Sosinski, Budgie Roe the bird, Jimmy the cat, Little Buddy the dog, and Matilda the dog. Job search for Roseanne Barona, Brian and Brandy, Travis Boone, Mike Brown, Joey Gooch, Joe Griffiths, Jim K, Pooja Shaw, Greg Weaver, and Joe Whitley. Prayers for health and well-being. Kabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, Venerable Gyaltsen, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters, Alejandra Maitre and Joshua, Joanna Balcom, Jim Barnes, Lucy Narcisse Barona, Narcisse Barona Sr., Susan Bohm, Bethany Boulis, Dale Boulis, Steve Bull and family, Yuki Burrows, Ken Castello, the family of Dolly Coleman, Ian Dale, Ted Domi, Tashi Droma, Bernie Glassman Roshi, Mildred Gooch, Tracy Haas Thompson, Mimi Hall, the family of Mary Hamilton, Christina Harrison, Geraldine Harvey, Frank Holt, Kenny Jackson and Buddy, Lloyd Johnson, Dell and Sue Johnson, Barry Judge, Helen Kasanoff, Nina Kowalski, Jonathan Kramer, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Mary Lojic, Pat Long, Ina Lovelace, Thomas Lynch, R.M., Carolyn and Granger Marley, Wilbert Martin, Martin Massenberg, Elvia Mejia, Brian Miller and Lindsay Piatti, Bruce Miller, David Moeller, Audrey Murphy, Evan Myrtle and family, the family of L.P. Oliver, Marie Oliver, Jay Pandya, Jay Min Pandya, Reddy family, Renee Reyna, Reynolds McClure family, Ann Rivers, Ralph Rumley, Ariana Scott, Joanna Cease, Pooja Shaw, Patty Sheriff, Ronnie Schumann and family, Andre Smith, Emily Smith, Brandon Solomon, Nancy Sorbet, the family of Anita Gorecki-Sosinski, Cameron Stevens, Lobsang Topton, Francis Ullman, Dion Washington, Amy Weiss, Elizabeth White, Shay Wokowicki, Marguerite Young, Brittany the Maltese, Georgie and Cadre the Pigs, Jimmy the Cat, Ollie the Dog, Skippo the Dog, Spike the Cat. And if you have any names you'd like to add yourself, please say them now. Okay, we'll begin with the mantra for Shakyamuni Buddha, which is on page 183 in your gold books. They're behind you if you're sitting in a chair, and in front of you, of course, if you're on a cushion. Page 183. Taya ta mune mune maha mune soha taya ta mune mune maha mune turn to page 34. We'll recite the four measurables in English. Page 34. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And then if you turn the page, Near the bottom of page 37, it says the Four Immeasurables chanting version, and we'll do that in Tibetan. Sam Chen Tom Chen. Mantra, which we'll do 8 times, and Green Tara's mantra that we'll do 7.
Om Mani Padme Hum.
Incorporated, yes, excellent word.
Huh. I tried to make him look like a lion.
Well, he's looking pretty good. Wow. So we have to do a little recap because there's people that weren't here last week. So where we left the story was that a mouse and a lion met, and the lion was going to eat the mouse, and the mouse said, barely a tooth could I satisfy. And the lion said, well, I can't hunt. I have a hurt paw. Well, the mouse fixed it. He said, let me fix it before you eat me. And the mouse said, okay. So it all got fixed. But then the mouse said, well, it's all better now, but you can't run for a week because the paw has to heal. And that's where we left the story. But the lion said, I'm hungry. And the mouse said, yeah, I know. And then the mouse said, and the lion said, I'm really hungry. And the mouse is thinking, oh, I might be the snack. So he said, I have an idea. Okay. And the lion said, well, what's that? He said, well, you know, there's those people that come to the field all the time on, you know, and they bring those big baskets and they have this wonderful, wonderful picnic. The lion said, yeah, I know, but I stay away from those humans. They can be very fierce. And I said, I know, but I've got an idea. We'll go to the edge of the forest, and this is where I'm going to need help from you guys. Okay. Go to the edge of the forest, and you give a really, really, really big roar. And the lion said, what's the point? I'm not going to eat him. And he said, oh, but that's the point. They'll think you are, and they'll run away. And I can smell that picnic basket. And I know there's some really good fried chicken. I know in this crowd it should be fried tofu, but for the sake of the lion, it's fried chicken. And I know there's cake with frosting on it for me. So let's go. So they go to the edge of the forest. Now, I know there's some really good roars in here, and I'm looking at one of them right now. And so, okay. So when I say, okay, so they've crept to the edge of the forest, and the lion takes a really deep breath, and then he goes, very good, very good. So guess what happens? Everybody runs away because they don't want, they think, oops, lion's here, it's dangerous. Well, once everybody has left, the mouse and the lion go out to the picnic grounds and they pick up the basket and they bring it back to the woods. Well, of course, they have a wonderful feast. See? Mm-mm. Yep, yep, yep. Fried chicken. Fried chicken. So, and cake. Woo, cake, 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 cake.
Fried cake.
No, well, I know they do that at the state fair. But when they get all done with their picnic, the mouse says, well, we need to put the basket back. And the lion says, what? And he said, well, it's bad enough we took their food. We shouldn't steal their basket, too. So they go back to the field, and they put the basket back. Well, the people in the village think, well, maybe this is just an exception. So they keep having their picnics. Well, every week, the lion says, his paw is healed. And he says, the lion says, my paw is healed. I can hunt now, but I can't hunt for fried chicken. And I really like it. So, well, the parents are saying, we can't go there anymore. And the kids are saying, but we have so much fun in that field. And then two of the children, maybe three or four of them, say, maybe the problem is the lion is hungry. And if we take enough food for us and the lion, we can still have our picnic. Now, the parents are very unusual. They listen to their children. And so they said, okay, we'll try it just this once. So they packed up a really big picnic basket, one for themselves, one for the lion.
And
the mouse. But see, they hadn't seen the mouse yet. So that's the catch. The mouse has been hiding in the book. So what they do is they put the basket next to the edge of the forest, and they put their and they get their picnic. Well, guess what happens? The mouse and the lion, and the mouse jumps down from the lion. People are watching, and they see the mouse help the lion open the basket. And now, can you guys do a friendly roar? Okay, good job, good job. And so the mouse and the lion settle down, and they have their picnic at the edge of the forest.
I'm the mouse.
And you're the mouse. Cake, I didn't bring any cake, sorry. So, very good job. Oh, very good mouse job. Oh, excellent. Can everybody see the mouse job? Oh, excellent, excellent, Olivia. So, that became the tradition. And so, guess what? The lion said, you know, I like this not hunting thing. And the mouse said, yes, it's very, very, very good. That's a very good thing. And isn't it wonderful that these people feed us and they protect us from hunting? And the lion said, yes, this is good. And then, so now we have to get to the part where we learn everybody's names. Now, last week I told you it was Droma and Dorje. So, who do you think is who?
The lion
is Dorje, yeah, because Dorje is powerful, right? Okay. And Drama, Tara, removes obstacles. Coming up a really good problem solver. So the mouse is Drama. And so guess what happened over the weeks when the lion stopped hunting? His heart became kinder, and he and the mouse began talking about the Dharma. And that's how this story ends. But there might be more adventures of Drama and Dorje. Not sure when. My imagination has to kick in. Okay? Thank you. The kitty's going to take it. You can't take it from the mouse. Find it now. How about the mouse?
Pumpkinator.
Okay. Good job. Good job. And worms.
Good morning. Did you enjoy the story? maybe 5 minutes meditation, okay, 5 minutes. Maybe please would you mind take 1 minute to introduce yourself, then after that I'll start some talk. Okay. Sorry to either of your wonderful conversations. Very sorry. But we have very limited time today. Very limited time. So, thank you very much. So I want to say something about meditation, okay? Of course, there are, you know, many, many different types of meditation that we can do. But here, today I'm going to talk about the meditation of concentrations, you know, concentration meditation. So, someday, so, like, meditation is not just about, you know, people who come to the Kadamba Center or people who are, you know, like, believing in something. Meditation is for people who has mind. If you have mind, when you meditate, you'll get benefit. It's not about, you know, believing in something or going to some, you know, center or, no. Whoever has mind, if you meditate, you get benefit. You get benefit, you know. The goal for concentration meditation is to make your mind calm and peaceful. When you look at the six perfections, you're teaching about six perfections. The number five, the fifth perfection is called concentration. So, important, no? Not just important, no, very necessary to make our mind calm and peaceful. Very, very necessary to learn how to concentrate. Someday jishis, or someday concentrations. Jishis makes mind calm and peaceful. So meditation does not mean, you know, like, well, the concentration meditation does not mean that you sit down and think nothing. That's not what it means. It means you sit down and you think one thing, you know, not just many things, you think one thing. Of course, we have to think. In order to make our mind calm and peaceful, we have to think. Without thinking, mind cannot be calm and peaceful. Oh? We have to think, you know. We choose one object. We just think one thing, not just 100 different things. We just think one thing. Oh? The minute the mind starts to think more than one thing, then mind gets distracted. Distracted? That's how mind gets restless, see? According to this, you know, samatha meditation, karma-abiding meditations, the only way to make our mind calm and peaceful, sit comfortably, think just one thing. That's the object, think just one thing, that's the object. The mind is like elephant, you know. Mind is like elephant, so powerful. Not just ruin your life, it could ruin so many other people's life too. The mind, you know, mind is so powerful. That's why it's called elephant, like elephant. Huh? There's elephant in the room all the time. According to some other meditations, there's an elephant in the room all the time. Not just one elephant, there's many elephants. Huh? See, Yiji Langbo Lotto was. That elephant is on the move. That elephant is not still. The elephant is not standing still. That elephant is on the move. Huh? All the time is thinking. Need to learn how to minimize our thought. The only way you can minimize your thought if you concentrate on one object. That's the way to minimize your thought or stop all of your thought. Just to choose one thing and focus on that and place all your attention on that object. That's called hitching post. Elephant. Your job is to tie that elephant on the hitching post. Yiji Lambo Lodo Tendetapagnetiness. Mindfulness like rope. Mindfulness like rope, being aware, you know, being mindful. Next 2 minutes, I'm going to focus on this. This only I'm going to think, nothing else. I will make sure that my main focus is, you know, to see all this clear. So that if I cannot see all of this clear, I will not let my mind get out of this. You know, if it's here, I'll stick. If it's here, I'll stick here. If it's there, I'll stay. Long as my mind stay on this object. Next 2 minutes, something like that. That's called mindfulness, like rope, you know. You have now rope, which is like mindfulness. Concentration, mindfulness, there's two different things. Concentration means you are thinking only one thing. Mindfulness, that you make sure that your elephant or your mind is on that object, you know. Make sure it doesn't get out of that, you know. That's the only way to make your mind calm and peaceful. And the goal, you know, to produce, you know, then mental pliancy down the road. Down the road, mental pliancy, oh? Mental pliancy. Oh? So then, of course, the physical pliancy too, you know, the goal. So, Yiji Longbo Lodrova Tendel Pabe Yesinness. So you tie that elephant with mindfulness, rope-like mindfulness, you tie that elephant, you know, to the hitching post, that object, you know, could be your breath, temporary object, you know, breath, flower, colors, image, holy image, you know, anything, one thing, not many, just one, choose one, you know, and see. Does it make my mind calm and peaceful? Just see. It should. Yiji Lambo Lodrova Tendel Pabe Ngesin. Mibye Kawa Tembola. That object has to be firm. Firm. Object has to be firm. Okay. Share of charges. Then, with the wisdom, is like the tools, you know, they use in forest department when they train elephant. You know, so they poke here, poke there, pick up something, you know, go there. That's like wisdom. If the mind is getting out of this, or bring it back, that's called wisdom. If the mind is sitting there, just sleeping, then wake it up. Be alert, you know, like, not just sitting there, fully aware, alert. Fully aware, no? So there's no, sometimes mind do think. Sometimes mind gets too high, no? So then the wisdom, there's the wisdom place like instrument. Then eventually, you can rule, you know, control the mind, eventually. Shut up, judge, you want us, no? So please try, you know, this is like concentration meditation. Don't need to say anything, just sit down. Watch your breath, you know, say 7 times, slowly, gently, 7 times, then stop, then again 7 times, 7 more times, stop, 7 more times, stop. So the breathing, you know, the frequently, the breathing has been, breath has been used as an object, huh? Breath has been used. Breathe out. In, one, out, in, two, out, in. Each time you inhale, you count. 1, 2, 3. So for beginner, it's very important. For beginner, short, time-wise, short, then many. Oh? When you become familiar, then few, then long. Please don't push, you know. When is the best time to stop meditation? When you feel good. That's the best time to stop. If you stop when you feel terrible, that's not a good time to stop, you know. Don't push. No. No, it has to start from short. I didn't make this up, you know. They said short can be 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, short. Oh. Don't push. Be gentle, don't push. No, next time when you see the meditation cushions, make sure that you don't feel like to throw up. So then that's not skillful, you know. someday. So this is something that time-wise, here in the West, especially in America, life, some reason, there's always feel like there's no time to do this or do that, always feel like. So this meditation can do in a very short period of time. So it's very important. Without concentrations, it's impossible to eliminate our disturbing thought. There's no way. Without concentration, no matter how many prayers you are saying, without concentrations, it's impossible to eliminate disturbing thought. That's impossible. It does require, in order to challenge our disturbing thought, particularly to root out from our mind stream, it does require strongest concentrations, what we call shamatha. Without shamatha, we cannot be liberated from disturbing thoughts. No way. It's impossible without shamatha. So same, without some form of concentrations, day-to-day life, it's very, very difficult to stop, disturbing thoughts. See? These are the ones who's, how you say, destroying all the happiness within ourselves, mental happiness. That's why I always tell here, think something positive, think something good. That's the only way you can stop thinking something negative. Why we should not think negative? There's mental suffering. That's why. Not because you are Buddhist, because you have many disturbing thoughts arise, there will be no peace, there will be no happiness. So there's a ripple of negative impact on the health, on happiness. Happiness has to be created, It requires ingredients, So as I said last time, happy meal, I'm not sure whether you call it happy one, happy meal, or delicious tea, has to create, it's not just having a wish to have, having a wish to enjoy a delicious tea, that's not bad wish, that's good wish. But that wish cannot be accomplished just by sitting doing nothing. I'm going to meditate the next 5 minutes to have delicious tea. Then you sit down, say some prayer, open your eyes. That's not delicious tea. Yeah. Delicious tea has to create, ingredients. Get all the ingredients, then you make, then you can enjoy this same happiness. Has to create, People need to do something every day, otherwise, everybody has wish to be happy. Why not then everybody's happy? Everybody has wish. Everybody, you have wish, I have wish. I wish all the time I'll be happy, but that's not happening. Yeah, so everybody needs to do something to be happy. Think something positive, rejoice. When you see something good, rejoice. When you see something difficult, develop compassion, loving kindness. Easy to say, but somebody has to say, and this time I'm the one who's saying it. we can think. As a human, we can think. Every day, we can think something good. We are capable. We can think something good. Then you become so good at thinking good, eventually, even though you encounter some difficulty, you still manage to think something good. Can you imagine? Then life becomes a piece of cake. See? You become so good at, thinking good, thinking something positive. So, then when you encounter some difficulty, you still manage to do something positive. So then, you'll be happy. No matter where you live, in a cave. Middle of the cave, there's nothing, you're happy. You live in town, middle of nowhere, you're happy. This is very important. So just want to share that with you, importance of concentration meditation. What it means? It means you sit down or lay down, doesn't matter. You don't have to sit like this. you can lay down, but just think something, just one thing. Think just one. Just want to share that with you. So, Yuji Langmo Lodo was, if the elephant is not on the move, then you don't need to do any meditation. No? That elephant is not standing still. That elephant is on the move, move. Yuji Langmo Lodo was. Migbe Kamba Kawa Tembulas. Object is very strong object. Object. Doesn't matter whatever object that you may choose, doesn't matter. Something strong. Migbe Kawa Tembulas. Chale Tabe Nyechiness. Rope like mindfulness, then you tie that elephant on that, like hitching post, or the object. Chale Tabe Nyechiness. Migbe Kawa Tembulas. Sheriff Charge using one chance. Then watch. You know? The wisdom is wisdom. Observe all the process of your concentration meditations. Observe. Then next 2 minutes, 5 minutes, just watch. You know. Sunday similar on juice or another text. Concentrations rules thought. Concentrations rules. It's like king that rules the, all the thoughts. Sunday similar on juice. Concentrations rules. Concentration is like king. It rules the mind. Sunday similar on jabo. Shananiyos. If you let it be, it's going to be your mind, it's going to be firm as mountain, rocky mountain. It won't move, you know, it won't like monkey. Monkey? The, if you let it be, it's going to be firm as mountain, no? So this is all the result, okay? Right now, mind rule us. We don't rule our mind. Mind rule us, no? Concentrations, then if you become good at, you know, concentration, focusing by practice, no? So then your concentration will rule the mind. That's how disturbing thought is a part of mind. That's how all the disturbing thoughts have been eliminated by concentration. By concentration. Oh. Just want to share. Then here today many questions. Many questions here. Oh, this one fast. There's one here, sitting here from last week. This here, the questions, what is the Buddhist view of taking a life, killing? Oh, this is sitting here since last week. So now there's a couple of questions. 11:30, so I don't think there's, you know, today there's time for discussions. It's about 11:30, so there's some meeting there. What I'll do, maybe, if you want to say something, please just say, okay? There's not much time for discussion today. There's only a couple of minutes. I will read the question, so with my broken English. Where do thoughts originate from, sir? This is a very interesting question. Where do thoughts originate from, sir? Please, this is not just a question for me, it's a question for all of us. Please, also at the same time, please think. Because I'm reading this very loud. So then where do they... This is a very interesting question, huh?
Okay, so where do thoughts originate from? Where do they dissipate to?
Where
do they go to? Where do they disappear?
Oh, they go to flea market. They go to Whole Foods to get chocolate chip cookies.
Where do they dissolve into?
When the dessert is warm, it's all very interesting.
When one is capable of answering this question, then that being is a Buddha.
Oh, I don't think so. Yeah. So because I'm going to answer. I'm not Buddha at all. I'm not Buddha at all. I'm even not close. So I'm deep in the samsara, not in the Buddha. You know? So I'm going to say something. You know? Because that question really interests me. You know? So if you feel like to say, please, I want you to say. You know? I really want you to say if you want to say something. You know? So the first question is, there are actually, according to this, like, number of ways to answer the question. Sometimes the question needs to be asked another question, there's a way to answer. Another question, sometimes you don't say nothing. That is the answer. You say nothing, you know. Tidang, shabba means you say nothing, you just don't say anything. That's the answer. I'm not sure there's a yes or no answer. Answer doesn't have to be yes or no. Sometimes you don't say anything. Then tidang, shabba. Sometimes you have to before they ask you say something or something. Anyway, there's four of them. I don't remember all of them. I only remember three or maybe barely three, but two to the seven. So this answer, where the thought originated?
Where do thoughts originate from?
That depends. It depends. From my view, it depends. What kind of thought? If you're just talking about mind, where the mind originates, then that gets more complicated. Then that gets more complicated. What? Then that leads to bigger debate, really deep into debate. If the mind, where the mind originated. Oh. So, then to think about, you know, because the interdependence, emptiness, you know, it's not going to be easy, you know, like the discussion is going to be, if you're just talking about the mind, general mind, where it's originated, then you are mainly thinking of, from Buddhist point of view, you are asking the cause, right? The cause. So then, you know, then there's more debate. If you are talking to asking about particular thought, then that depends on the thought, what kind of thought. All the disturbing thought, according to Buddhism, you know, all the disturbing thought originated from ignorance. See, disturbing thought. Because, you know, ignorance is the root of all this complication that we experience, what we call samsara, you know. No matter which direction we turn, there's always something, you know. Everything that's coming to complication. Prayer will sometimes break, it will fade away, all color. Everything's coming to complications. You know? So there's a root of that complication is, according to Buddhist philosophy, that's like ignorance, fundamental confusion. Means not knowing how self exists. What is self? No, we have some idea, but that idea may not be the right one. Or you may think, oh, my body, I think that my body is me. But there's a lot of discussion. When it comes down on identifying identity, how is it identity? It's not just identity card to be sure, you know. That's not how you identify. Based on empty speaking, that's not how you identify. Identification, finding the identification of the self, mainly self. You know, like, everybody has some idea. A long, long time ago, you know, people like did a lot of research. Now, modern day, you say research. A lot of research. Who is suffering? No, who is suffering? That is self. What is self? No? So they spend so much time trying to identify how you define self. Is it body? Oh, some people say yes, you know, there's then where you debate, there's problems. They say no, maybe continuations of, you know, this aggregate, not just form aggregate, there's five aggregate, maybe continuations of that, maybe that's self. Then they debate, you know, you don't just accept somebody says so. you debate, you argue, then there's another problem, you know, logically there's another problem. Then, you know, go back and forth, there's many, many debate about how to define self. So then, you know, have no tangbu ngashi, tangbu right from the beginning, I. Not really clear understanding of I, but that's what we say. I, right from the beginning, tangbu ngashi, then my country, my people, my culture, my tradition, so many, you know, things that comes out of, you know, I, which is not right from the beginning, not really clear what you really mean, I, you know. So, if you're just talking about, you know, like, disturbing thought, then all this disturbing thought is originated into, you know, this fundamental condition, not knowing how the true nature of self. That's it. So if you're just talking about general mind, then that's more complicated. Okay, then you're asking the cause. Of course, then you know it gets a little bit more complicated. Then the second one, sorry, so if you want to say something? Anybody want to say? Dr. Brown? Dr. Brown is pretending you're sleeping. Second one.
Where do they dissipate to? Where do they dissolve into?
No, all this begin now dissolve, you know, like the when you think about dissolving, like now this size element and the mind, that's like end of the life. That's the end of the life. You know, there's like 25 things that dissolves, you know, sequentially dissolves. So, so then, maybe I want you to say, if you really want to say something, please say. Some of my answer may not make any sense. So then.
Then the last part says, when one is capable of answering this question, that being is a Buddha.
There are so many Buddha here, so all are capable to answer the question. So.
This is just how I do it. I kind of make it how it's going to work for me, like today. And just from really thinking about this sometimes, obviously my thought, there's two ways to look at it. My thought right now obviously comes from what I was thinking like a second ago. That's obvious. But on a bigger picture, My thought
is coming from obvious.
My thought right now is obviously coming from what I thought a second ago. That's on a practical level.
Oh, okay.
On a bigger level, on a delusional level, and I have many of them, trust me. I think it's like the first time I ever met you, if I get this imprint, you're a cool guy. Every time I see you after that, that gets dialed up, and it doesn't look at you accurately. And I might not like what you're saying to me, but every time I dial you up in the future, it thinks of that cool guy. And so that's so I notice that, like when at work, if someone comes into the room, I'm like, I could catch myself sometimes before he even says something, I'm like, oh, this guy is up, you know, and it clouds everything. And every interaction I have with this guy forward, and so the key for me, and I work at it, is to recognize that and just at least make it neutral. To calm that imprint down that I have of him.
Wonderful, yeah.
I don't know.
So then maybe that's all the questions, right? Very, very, very good question. Whoever asked these questions, so very like, how you say, thoughtful. Yeah, probably thought quite a bit asking this question. Very good. But you know, like, origination of the thought, you know, that's like, probably, need to think of interdependence. Everything is interdependence, no? Then causalities. Causality. Everything happening, not because we wish to have, no? We all wish to have good things to happen, but that's not what's happening. All kinds of things are happening due to cause and conditions. So, I think the karma, I'm not asking you to believe in karma. I'm just simply suggesting you to read what is karma. Just read. You know, then think. There are benefits. There's a lot of benefit to protect your peace of mind. When things goes down, when things not going the way exactly you want to go, so the knowledge of karma will help, definitely help. That's what we need. We need help. Wherever we can get help, that's what we need. So causality. So then, you know, of course, emptiness, teaching about emptiness, the causality, karma and emptiness, they go side by side, together. This is so, there's many questions here. So now there's only 5 minutes left, so to this question. So, what is the Buddhist view of, you know, taking a life, killing? What's the Buddhist view? So, I very much like to request these questions, maybe to answer Dr. Brown. You say, please say something. Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Brown says, yeah. Dr. Brown is not sleeping.
Forced to do this.
Yeah. The question is, what is the Buddhist view of taking life?
The ten non-virtuous actions that are talked about in Buddhism, like the heaviest one is killing. So that's obviously something that we need to pay attention to, because it, karmically speaking, it creates the causes for us to be harmed in the future. So if you believe in karma, I think there was a visiting teacher one time.
Dr. Brown, I'm giving you all the time. I'm not taking any time. All the rest of the time is yours. Please, you know, elaborate. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to be brief. But George Dreyfus, Sangye Sandu, was the first Tibetan. He was the first Westerner to get the highest degree, Geshe Larampa, in the Tibetan tradition. So he was highly educated. He's a professor at Williams College and so on and so forth. He visited here back about 20 years ago, and he was talking about ethics, about trying to live an ethical life, and how we can fool ourselves to think that we can kill, you know, the three of body are killing, stealing, and adultery. The four of speech are lying, slander, harsh, and frivolous talk. Three of mind, greed, hatred, and ignorance. Those are the generally listed as the ten non-virtuous actions. So he said he was talking about the motivation. Let's say you want to kill somebody. And they're threatening you for whatever reason, and you think, well, this is what I have to do. And so there's the motivation that leads up to the moment when you kill that person. And that you might be thinking, I'm going to protect my family, I'm going to protect my country, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. That's the motivation up to the moment. And it could be virtuous or it could be non-virtuous. But then there's the motivation at the moment of the action. And because we have the kind of minds that we have, it's always going to be negative. It's always going to lead to future suffering. It's, you know, unless we're a Buddha, right? Enlightened being conceivably could take a life without and do it purely motivated by wisdom and compassion. But ordinary beings, and I'm assuming, I know I am, don't know about anybody else, but it's virtually impossible to go against those ten non-virtuous actions with a pure a purely compassionate, wise motivation. So I think, yeah, and there's so many examples. I mean, there are wars, and there are people who kill in self-defense, and then your country tells you to go kill people, and so on and so forth. It's kind of a big deal, because we don't know exactly where, when we're doing it. It seems, well, basically, the very nature of killing is negative, so we have to, that's just something that's very clear in Buddhism. It's negative, it will lead to future suffering, and there was this great example, which I understand, Geshe-la can comment on this, is still debated in the monasteries. It always comes up here, example center, where there's this, the Buddha in his former life was the captain of a ship, and there were the 100 merchants on the ship. This is roughly the story.
Yeah, that's
correct me, Joe, if I'm wrong. One of the people on the ship, they'd gone and sold their wares, and they were coming back, and they had all kinds of, riches and gold and stuff, so forth. And one of the hundred people was going to kill the other 99 and take all the goods for himself. Well, the Buddha, being the captain of the ship and being, this was right just before he became an enlightened being. He was a bodhisattva, highly realized. So he had clairvoyance. Let's just say he did. Perfect clairvoyance. Could see the future, wisdom, compassion, all of this. So the story goes, the captain, the future Buddha, killed this bad guy, thereby saving the lives of 99 people, but also preventing this bad guy from having the negative karma of having killed 99 people. So this is one of those tricky examples, because the key factor in karma is motivation. That's the key thing. It's not, the action itself, where it might appear to be negative, if it's motivated by pure wisdom and compassion, could actually be virtuous. So this is often given as an example of virtuous killing. And then, of course, you hear stories where people say, well, it's basically negative killing, so the Buddha went to the hell realms, but then sort of ricocheted back up really quick. Didn't stay down there very long at all. So the whole idea of taking life is very problematic and tricky. In every conceivable situation. I mean, I have cockroaches in my house, and I don't like them, and my kids freak out, so I have to deal with that. We all have, all the way up to, human beings and going to war and abortion and everything else in between. It's very, very tricky, and it's something that we need to think about. Dan.
So now, how's about a medical point of view, taking life? Medical point of view, you are a doctor. Medical point of view, taking life. Because the letter that you do, like all the medicines, they require a lot of research.
Yeah, I've worked in nursing homes where people were, I'm a family doctor, but I also did a fellowship one time in geriatrics, and I was a director of a nursing home, and I can remember going in and seeing these people with pressure sores, and this is back before they had you get sued today if somebody got a pressure sore, but in this nursing home, they'd be demented, and have contractures like in a fetal position with pressure sores over both hips and their sacrum and their ankles and their feet all the way down to the bone. I mean, this was a hellacious type of, can't imagine being trapped in that kind of body. They get pneumonia, and you could easily come in and cure it with antibiotics. So I asked Lamas Opa one time, I said, I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, I don't feel like I'm doing it. These people don't have any quality of life. They're incontinent, demented, in a body that is constantly suffering. What do you do in that situation? And I said, I don't really know. He told me to do a mo, which is basically the sort of say a prayer, and kind of there's a certain practice that's sometimes done to try to come up in those situations where you don't know what to do. So there was not a, as usual in Buddhism, it everything depends, doesn't it? There's no black and white. It's always negative to kill. It's always positive to save the life. It's always dependent upon the mind of the person doing the action. So I really wanted to be careful I wasn't creating more negative karma, which I have plenty of to deal with.
Practical point of view rather than just religious point of view. Practical point of view.
Yeah.
So none of us...
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. Just so you know.
Okay, thank you. Now stop. Yeah. Next week. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So if you turn to page 246, we'll do the dedication prayer by Master Shantideva. 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re So Ha.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So please make your weekend happy. Make your weekend happy.
Thank you. Welcome to the 2015 annual closing of the year meeting, member meeting. So we're going to, it's not going to take too long, but we're just going to go over all the highlights. Let's see, the agenda is actually, just kind of a few addresses from Robbie and Donna Cease and myself and Dave Strebel, and acknowledge a few lead positions, and then that's going to be it. So it won't take too long. So feel free to leave, obviously. That's happening.
Oh, yeah. Before everyone leaves, if you're not staying for the member meeting, I'm Christy Batts. I'm one of the facilitators for Family Camp. And I just wanted to invite you guys, if you want to make a flower offering, we brought flowers this morning to help with facilitating people who don't have funds to come to Family Camp, or increase our donations for the counselors who come and serve at Family Camp. So if you're interested, make a flower donation, a flower offering. You can bring it up to the altar yourself, or there's vases outside that you can put the flowers in. Family Camp is May 20th through 22nd, and it's a Kadampa Family Camp. It's not just for people with children. It's for our center, and you, if your family is one person, if your family is two people, it's going to be a fun-filled, high-energy weekend. It's not your traditional retreat. So if you want to come and act like a kid and be around kids, and there's going to be adult sessions. A lot of lay teachers and hopefully some Sangha will definitely be there. So please mark it on your calendars, and hopefully this week registration will be live on the website. You can just click through to the website and check it out, or keep updated on Facebook.
Thank you. You had a question in the back?
I thought about that too. Yes, furry friends are family to a lot of people, and that's something we don't really have control of with the facility that we're using. So we're not able to bring our furry family friends. But yes, that is a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. You can bring your mouse or your lion. And I forgot to say, you'll have time for some questions and concerns at the end. I didn't add that to you. Okay, so let's see. First, we're going to have an address from our center director, Robbie Watson.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone. For people who don't know me, I'm Robbie Watkins. I'm the center director. Every center in the FPMT, the organization that we're part of, has a director, and I'm appointed by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And I hold this position until Samsara ends, or until he wants to replace me. And I report to International Office, which is a division of the FPMT that manages the 170 centers we have around the world. Just to tell you a little bit more about the structure, we have two resident teachers, Geshe Gelug and Geshe Sampo. And that doesn't mean that they're just Tibetan monks who live at Kadampa Center. Resident teacher is an official position in the FPMT, and they are appointed by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. There are many monks and nuns who are not officially resident teachers, and Kadampa Center supports them, provides housing for them. Well, we don't provide housing because they have their own house, but we provide their health insurance and so on. We also have two spiritual program coordinators, Donna Cease, and I don't think Tony's here this month. Okay. They are appointed on my recommendation by the International Office. And this is a volunteer position currently at Kadampa Center. So Donna's going to be talking in a minute. We have a board of directors that is responsible for the fiduciary health of the center and for long-term planning. Let's see, do we have anyone from the board who's here this morning? If you could stand up. Yeah. And everybody's pictures, there's a big dartboard out over the shoe rack with the pictures of all these people. I'm not going to read off all the names this morning, but you can see them out there. The board of directors elects its president, which is Hemant Pandya, who's not here this morning, secretary, who is Sandy Carlson, and treasurer, who is David Strievel, and he'll be doing a presentation, which is the major part of this meeting. The members of the board serve two-year terms, and they can be reelected at that time. So they're kind of the big picture people. Then we have a management team, which is all the volunteers who keep the center running. Can everybody who's on the management team stand up?
You want to read that?
No. I don't think we need to read that. They're all on the board out there. And the management team is volunteers, and they report to Jill, who is in the new position of the center manager. That's a full-time paid position. And she has a part-time assistant, Amanda. What's Amanda's last name? Amanda Henry, who works part-time in the office. So they kind of are the nexus for everything that's going on here at the center. And I think that's it. I think the financial report will be the main thing from the board, and Dave will do that. Any questions about the general organization of the center? Because I know people are unclear about that at times. Okay, thank you.
Okay. And now we'll hear from our spiritual program co-spiritual program coordinator. It's a mouthful.
We just go by SPC, co-SPCs. And I want to give real props to Tony Allen, who is my co, who isn't able to be here today because he works in retail, so he's often scheduled on Sunday. And this is a volunteer position, and he's doing this on top of a full-time job and a young family. So when you see him, thank him, because it's really amazing that he's doing this, and this is part of his dedication to the Dharma and making it available to everybody. I just want to run down a little bit of what we offer at Kadampa Center in terms of spiritual programs. When I first started coming here, and even when we first got into this building 8 years ago, we were regularly scheduled on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and Monday nights. And now we have something going every night of the week except Thursday, except occasionally on Thursdays, and then we have a puja or something else going on most Saturdays as well. So we have the basic program, which is Friday nights, and this is a higher level study program. We have Buddhism in a Nutshell, which is an introductory course, Discovering Buddhism, which is also an introductory course, but a little more detailed than Nutshell, and it's a two-year course. We have special programs and pujas on holy days. We have teachings on Wednesday nights with Geshe-la. He's teaching right now on some of the deeper meanings of the text that's in the Guru Puja. We have a Light of the Path retreat coming up later this year. This is a major retreat that Lama Zopa Rinpoche asked us to host for him. It takes 2 weeks. If you can possibly come for any of it, please do. It's really an amazing experience. Rinpoche is also very kindly going to teach here one day before the retreat begins, so absolutely don't miss that. We also have a beginning meditation class. We've got pujas. We do other retreats besides the big Light of the Path retreat. We have a Saturday morning meditation once a month. We do other special spiritual events. We have Sunday mornings. We have visiting teachers. And every once in a while we do statue filling and blessing for people who have purchased statues, and there's a great deal of work involved in that. And there are some other little things that go on behind the scenes that are also spiritual things. So as you can see, we have a really, really full schedule, and we welcome any help and any involvement that anybody would like to get into. And I'm just going to give you a quick look at what's coming up in the next few months. I did mention the Light of the Path retreat, and at the end of this month we're going to do a special little program about why you should come and what to expect. That's the last Sunday of this month, and we're going to do that kind of in association with our little social tea, so please plan to stay for that and find out more about it. The day after tomorrow is Losar, that's Tibetan New Year. We're doing a special Guru Puja in honor of Lama Yeshe, who with Lama Zopa Rinpoche, he's up here. The portrait to the our left of His Holiness is Lama Yeshe. He and Lama Zopa Rinpoche founded the FPMT. Don met him. I think he's one of the few people at the center who did know Lama Yeshe. Lama Yeshe passed on Losar in, was it 1984, Don? So we remember him with this puja. And then this year, in addition to remembering Lama Yeshe, we're going to do some special practices for Lama Zopa Rinpoche's long life. So please plan to come for that. We're going to take a little time at the beginning of March to appreciate our Sangha here at Kadampa Center. We have a special visiting teacher coming in March, Venerable Robina. If you haven't experienced her, you have to. You have to come. She's very dynamic. She's going to be here for a week, March 14 to 20. She's going to be teaching all week long, and she'll be doing a special weekend workshop on how to die happy and how to help others die happy. We're planning a local retreat in late April. I think that's going to be on the 8 verses of Mind Transformation. Is that right, Geshe-la? The retreat, will that be on the 8 verses of Mind Transformation, or has that been decided? The retreat? Yes. Okay. Well, so Geshe-la will be leading that retreat, but we don't know the topic yet. We have Venerable Amy Miller coming in June. And then the Discovering Buddhism, which is a 2-year course, will be coming to a close this summer, and we'll be starting a new round of it in the fall. So I just want to emphasize again that we really welcome anybody who wants to be, participate more deeply in any way. Come and see me. Come and see Tony. If you can't find us, come and find Jill, and she'll get you to us, and we'd really love to have you get involved. Thank you. And if there are any questions?
Okay. Any questions? Okay. So my report as center manager. So it's been, first I'd like to have an open thank you with all the people who've given words of encouragement and supported me, because it's been a full 7 months. It's already been 7 months, so that seems kind of crazy. thank you. I feel like I know what the people that went west feel like now. Even though there hasn't been a center manager before, I really would like to take a moment to acknowledge Donna Cease, because there isn't anybody in this entire center that knows more about this entire center than Donna. And thank you. We're trying our best not to go, Donna, where is and how do we and where and what? So trying to take some work off her plate, because it's been so full for so long, and now it's completely full but in a whole other way. So at first, I just want to let you know what I did in the beginning was meet over 20 people, I don't know how many now, for over 55 hours to just listen. And I started this way, which was a little crazy because the appeal was just knocking on the door. But I decided to start this way because people needed to talk about what had been going on for years here and just to talk. So I just listened. And to get a sense of how their positions were going, and then as I've learned from the training I went to with Don and Tony in Portland, what service I could offer. So I always ended the meeting with, what can I do for you? And it was kind of humorous, like, for me, you know, people were kind of surprised. So what can I do for you? So that was a beautiful time. I spent a lot of time with David Strebel, my new best friend, and our financial wizard, getting familiar and adjusting our budget and operating account codes so that we can become organized financially. There's a million ways to get organized, but one of them was to get the budget in order, get the there wasn't a budget when I started, so we got the budget done, and then we got the next budget done for the year. So we did 15 and 16, bada boom. So it was a little daunting to start the annual appeal the day I started the job, but I'm happy to say, might even be numbers, I don't know if you got my email last night. Did you get that? Okay, he'll report that then. So we're 94.5% of our goal. So I think that's exciting. Thank you to everyone. You guys made that happen. So I would like to thank Venerable Chukila for being there, completely supporting me the whole way secretly behind the scenes, just meeting with me and explaining every single thing I needed to do because I didn't have a clue. So I know that gives you a lot of faith in me that I didn't have a clue. But now I have a clue. And so now I know what to do for next year, much more organized. And Anne, thank you so much for your work in the design. That was just an amazing design. The posters, the everything that went out, the brochures. So that was a beautiful scheme. So thank you to that. And then I think adding the in-kind donations and service this year, did everybody enjoy that? I just wanted to know, was that meaningful to you to have that be a part of it? So I think people enjoyed coming to the table in different ways, and that helped other people financially support because they saw that maybe they could do more when other people couldn't do as much. So I hope you enjoyed the skits. They were wonderful. And I particularly enjoyed seeing the boys rock the Casbah. That was fun. So your warm-hearted support the whole time has been amazing for all the four ways of giving. So since I've started this role, just what goes on behind the scenes has kind of blown my circuits of what it takes to run this small center. I mean, we are really small, but what it takes to run it is truly just kind of shocking. And you probably will never have a clue what's going on day by day, minute by minute, what all the people are doing behind. It's and even with people that don't have roles, that don't have positions, there's no way to ever let you know what's happening with the phone calls. With the people meeting and talking and emailing, good Lord, if we stock these emails up, we would blow the internet. So let's see. I try to attend to all your requests, and I've made that sort of a priority, which is a little insane to do whatever people are requesting. But I wanted to start off like that. Not that I'm not going to try to continue like that, but to let you know that I'm listening to you. So, for example, someone, Mr. Brown, whispered in my ears, "Get rid of the pews." And so we made that happen. So the pews are gone, and I think it leaves a lot of room for openness in the Gampa and how we can change things. So not everything you whisper in my ear will be done, but I will do my best. So Amanda joined me in mid-October, and that's when I could really take a nice deep breath and start to get a little bit more of a grip. We make a great team together, and it's our wish that you feel listened to and answered. We want you to feel free to email us and call us. If you have questions, concerns, or you just want to, if you want to complain, whatever you want to do, you can do it. So there are many directions that a manager can put effort in, and to lead effectively, I have a strong belief in connecting us to each other, and so to become strong and harmonious. And so that's why I started with the hospitality team, Jen, and Vivian, I think, is teaching right now, right? So they're just getting started, and it's important to me to start with hospitality so that we are together, and when the more we talk, the more we learn what we need to do in the future. So that's why I started with things that maybe might seem a little backwards. I think it's helping. So you might have gathered from my side notes, which are a little quirky, my letters and communications, that I've started on the simple level of just being sincere and a little zany in my undying love for the center. We hope that you follow Geshe-la's wishes, that you make the center your center in whatever way you feel like that works for you. And I know I've been repeating this a lot, but has everybody heard that the center's open? Have you gathered that through the emails and the notes that you can come meditate? I feel like I've said this a lot, but that you can come meditate, you can come study, you can use the library, you can buy things in the bookstore, you can eat your lunch here. We have lunch bunch on Fridays now. You can join me. I sit down at the table and we have lunch together. You can bring a friend here. You can make tea. You can just stop by. You can bring your family like you guys did. It's open. And if I happen to be running an errand, like someone said, I came here and it was closed, and I just said, I just went to lunch. So I will, from time to time, go to lunch or something. But if you do need to do something, call ahead and ask. That's perfectly fine. So we have a lot of positions to fill, and so now that the appeal's over, it's going to start coming out to you, all the things that we need. There's going to be IT communication communication coordinators, IT coordinator, volunteer coordinator, which will split up. And then the main position that's happening right now is the family program coordinator. So let's take a minute to thank Erin. She's right here. Yes. 5 years. 5 years of service as the children and youth program coordinator. So we're changing the name, and I just want to say a brief little snippet about it. I wrote it up in the next email. I'm always a week ahead, so then I'm a week behind. Did that go out last week, the family program coordinator, or was that coming up this week? I think it went out last week. And who read this week? Did it go out last week? Okay, thank you. So I wanted to just make sure that you understood, if any of you are thinking about the position or you know somebody that might be interested, that it's a little bit broader spectrum. So I love to, if you know me, I always like to. The family program coordinator will have a Sunday education facilitator, which Erin's going to fill until the end of May. And so when you get this position filled, the facilitator, that's a lot of what the job is. And you're overseeing it. So that's why it's a little different, and I want to make sure you understand that. Then when you have this rolling with, you're following along with the diagrams here, with the curriculum writers, and then you get the lead positions filled with the teachers that are organizing the scheduling and everything, then there's a lot of relief that can happen so that you can then come over to this other wing and do a lot of the planning where the families will plug into with visiting teachers and sponsorships and mandala, you know, when we do mandala, sand mandalas here, everything that happens, how do families plug in? Erin, of course, has already been doing all of that. So now we're saying that you can do more of this when you have someone else helping you. So there can even be a co-position. There's a lot of ways this can happen. So I want to make sure that that's clear and that you can maybe be thinking of other people that might be good for this position because we need to fill it. All right. Oh, so the Sunday tea time, we started that. So that was last weekend, and the Sunday will be the last week of every month so that we get together. It's sort of our new potluck look. If you have any questions about this, which, what was that about? Oh, that was about the family program coordinator. So this year is our 25th anniversary, and this is really exciting. Yes, 25 years, thanks to Don Brown. So what we have coming, we're a little behind the ball just because I'm getting rolling with everything. So it's going to roll out. The first story is already written, and it'll hopefully show up this Monday, tomorrow, in your box from Herb Cunningham. So there's going to be stories from founding members through the whole year, and then we're going to have a team that hasn't even been invited to yet. So I've already got my list of some of you on that I'll be calling tomorrow and saying, just meet for a couple hours with me, and let's plan out this 25th year, culminating in a big event at the end of the year. So it should be really exciting. We're going to try to see how we can celebrate all year long. So the theme is 25 years of sharing the Dharma, a wish for the three times. So thank you for all your support. And next we have a report from our financial wizard.
David Spiegel.
Okay, let's turn down the lights a bit here so we can see what we have on the projector. I'm David Strievel. I've been the treasurer for about the last year. I'm one of the 9 members of the board of directors. And like Ravi said, you can see all our mugshots out there on the board above the shoe rack with our names. And so I'm going to take just about 15 minutes here to review our finances by talking about what happened last year and what we're planning for this year. So first, I just put in some photos here of nice things that happened in 2015. We had the children's camp with Geshe Gelick out at Camp Agape. We had Venerable Amy here teaching for a long weekend. And in November, Geshe Sangpo did a sand mandala right here on a table, right here in the Gampa, all by himself. And he's shown here with some of his friends from Kadampa Center. So this is just kind of a quick survey of some wonderful things that happened last year. And now let's get into maybe the more dull details here. This is the financial report. And so first I'd like to explain our organizational form, show our 2015 results, show the 2016 budget, and then talk about the annual appeal and how that went since it's just ended. So under the laws of North Carolina, Kadampa Center is a nonprofit corporation, as most churches are. And among other things, that lets us get the donation status with the Internal Revenue Service. So when you give gifts to Kadampa Center, it is a tax-deductible event. And like all corporations, we're managed by a board of directors. As we've talked about, there's 9 people on it. We're led by Robbie Watkins, our center director, and Hemant Panja, who's our president last year and this year. And I'm the treasurer, David Strievel. Sandy Carlson is our secretary, and there's 5 other members on the board of directors. And our job is to set the annual financial plans and kind of do big picture planning for our organization. So then as an employee for the last 7 months, we've had Jill Marie as our center manager, and she's in charge of the daily operations, which is trying to carry out all the details and make things work. So let's review, first of all, here our 2015 income. And as churches or religious organizations go, we're relatively small here in Raleigh. But we do have to bring in about $250,000 every year. And, of course, we spend it all, too. So first, let's talk about where the income came from. And as you can see by looking at the top line up there, annual appeal for $149,600, that was 64% of all of our income this last year. So the annual appeal and the responses that you have made, where you make monthly donations or you make one-time donations, one-time gifts, that's extremely important. It's 2/3 of all of our income. And it's been increasing a little bit from year to year. It's a very good way to try to manage, because when you do make a supporter pledge, then we have some idea of how much money we're going to have. Because, of course, if there was really going to be a shortfall, we would have to figure out how to economize. So the next category up there, General Donna, $28,000, 12% of our income. That just means funds we got where we don't know who gave it. If you put cash in the boxes here, things like that, we don't know who actually does that. We just put it in the treasury and we use it. Then our spiritual program, we accounted for about $23,700 there, 10% of our income. That came from donations at the time visiting teachers were here. It came from the sponsorships of pujas. There were many of those, several thousand dollars worth. and class donations. If you attend Discovering Buddhism or something like that, and you write out on an envelope, you put a check in an envelope and you write Discovering Buddhism, then we account for it as a class donation, class-related donation. Then there's our bookstore, where we brought in $17,000, and we classify all the things we sell there as either Dharma books or holy objects or merchandise, meaning like T-shirts and mugs and things like that. And committees brought in an income of $6,900. That was primarily due to the children's program having the children's camp, and it cost $6,000 or $7,000 to run that, and parents and some other kind people donated for that. Then we have stock and bond donations there. We do now have a stock market account at Vanguard, and it's all set up so that if you do happen to own stocks and you wish to donate them, you can do that. You can send them to that account. Just inquire of me, or we've got written documentation about how to do it. And you can specify that you want it to be sold right away to be used for, you know, for operating funds, or it can be put into our long-term fund for eventual, say, building remodeling, things like that. So we got $5,900 there, and a couple of small items, honoraria and memorials and miscellaneous, adding up to $235,000. That's how much the income was last year. And here is a review of the expenses. And as usual at a church-type organization, most of the expenditure goes for hiring people. The top line there, personnel, $125,700. That's 53% of all our expenses. And during the year, this in 2015, we had 7 employees at different times. Sarah Brooks was here when the year began. Venerable Chucky was on the payroll. And Christine Allen was our bookkeeper as the year opened. And then as the year went on, our 2 guesties were employed all year long. And then our new center manager, Jill, came on board, and Amanda Hendry, office administrator. So those 7 people, I guess you could tell they're not the highest paid in the world there, because the 7 people split $125,700 as their pay, as their Social Security payments, as their health care, as some car allowance and travel expenses, and some continuing education expenses. So that all rolls together. There's 8 different categories there, and it all came up to $126,000 roughly. Then facility operating means paying the electric bill and the gas bill, and heating the building, and maintaining the furnaces and the air conditioners, and paying the insurance and the mortgage. That costs $27,500. Administration, $25,600 for internet fees and bank fees and our accounting service and supplies. We spent about $22,000 on the spiritual program in order to get people like Venerable Amy here and provide some gifts for visiting teachers, and to buy all the sag for pujas, and also this year we started to pay for the Light of the Path retreat. Even though it's 7 months away, expenses started coming in last year. Then the next category is the bookstore. We had to buy the stuff we sell. And so the good news is we spent $13,000 buying the stuff, and we sold it for $17,000. So we make a modest profit in the bookstore, and that just goes into the treasury. And mortgage principal, that means paying back the principal loan amount of our mortgage, $12,500. Committees, that was primarily the children's program. Total expenses, $236,000. Now, the income was $235,000, so there's a $1,300 deficit there. as of the end of the year. Now, the money, you know, it fluctuates how the picture looks from one week to the next about whether the bookkeeper got some amounts in or not yet. So basically, we're calling this break even. We had a break even year, and that's our goal, trying to bring in enough money to pay the bills. And $1,300 is way less, like it's 0.3% off. So income was 99.7% of expenses. So that completes that review. Our current financial situation, thanks to all your donations and all the volunteer effort, it's good. For most of 2015, our checking account balance was $80,000 to $90,000, which I know on a personal basis sounds like a lot of money, but that would pay our bills for only 4 or 5 months. And we have to have some in reserve, say, as we're starting up the Light of the Path retreat, et cetera. We have a restricted fund with about $46,000 in it, and most of that money is set aside for the Lama Atisha Statue Fund and the Children's Program and other money we can only spend on designated purposes. And then we have our long-term development fund at Vanguard. It has only a little in it, $3,000. We do use credit cards here at the center, and we have 7 or 8 of them for convenience only. We pay them off in full every month. On the last day of the year, we owed $3,000, but then it goes back to zero every month. And our mortgage is our biggest single financial obligation. We are still paying on our mortgage here for the building and land. We owe $181,000, and we're paying it at the rate of $22,000 a year. So it's going to take about 12 more years at the rate we're going. We're actually paying at as slow as the bank will let us, just as we've negotiated. So that's our biggest debt. Now let's switch to thinking about this year. And this is no real details here, but we're expecting the expenses here in Raleigh to be $246,500. Therefore, we need that much in donations. Now, that's about $10,000 more than this year, than last year, 2015. So the budget's going up a little bit. The biggest special thing coming up in this year is the Light of the Path retreat. We have a budget for it, and it calls for $76,000 in expenses. We pay to get Lama Zopa here and his attendants. We pay the retreat center many thousands of dollars. We're arranging for a 2-week reservation of the whole center, so on. So we're hoping that donations, mostly from those who attend the retreat, come in and provide all that $76,000 plus some more. And if you'd like to see this year's budget in all its detail, there's at least 100 line items on it, look at kadampa-center.org under the About Us tab, and there's our budget document is there. And, of course, we regard all the details of this stuff as public. If you would like to know, you're welcome to ask. It is not a secret. And so one place you can look is on the website, and also feel free to ask me or Robbie or anybody on the board, and we would try to get you some information. So the planned income then for 2016 to pay the Light of the Path retreat plus our regular budget here is about $340,000. If we don't hold a retreat in 2017, then it'll go back down to about what it is now. So that's that subject. Let me just talk about our long-term financial plans, how we operate here. First of all, we try to avoid an annual deficit. Every year we try to obtain donations equal to expenses, and the last several years we have managed to do that, sometimes with some surplus. That's how we've gotten to have $80,000 in the checking account. We've had some surpluses in past years, and so some funds have built up. It was only half a dozen years ago, I was treasurer back then too for a stint, and I remember sometimes the balances on hand were so low, we had to actually be careful about paying the bills because we could have emptied our account. But we are in much better shape now. So, yes, there's the financial side to running our organization, and then there's volunteer work. And we are balancing the two. We do depend on volunteers to do a lot of things. Maybe in future years, if we grow bigger, we will hire more things done. But right now, to keep expenses down, it's very important that we have a lot of volunteers doing many things. So let me just mention then, looking to the future, what would the board say the wish list is from a financial point of view? Obviously, number one here, wish list, pay down or pay off our mortgage. If we just go as we are now, that'll happen in about 12 years. Should any surpluses come our way or any special gifts, of course, we could dedicate it to paying off the mortgage earlier. A second wish item might be to create an IRA retirement plan for our employees. We don't have one, never have had. When you do that, an employer can put in, say, 3% of employees' salaries to match what they contribute. And that, so that would cost us perhaps $3,000 a year. We've never done it because we haven't felt like we've had the money. Even though we've talked about it, and there's a question back there. Yes, it is possible to create it and not have the employer, us, Canopus Center, contribute anything. Yeah, and that would be a possibility if the employees would. Now, of course, employees can pay into their own IRA and things like that. But we could start a plan, even if we didn't have the budget to, put Canopus Center money into it. And, then the third wish list item here, grow our long-term fund. This is kind of a long, looking ahead many years. Obviously, our center has gone from meeting, say, I don't know, in Don Brown's house, or someone's house, I think, in the initial years, and then the basement where we met for many years. Now we have a much finer center. It's unclear. We hope there'll be some growth, and maybe eventually we'll need to remodel or even acquire some different property. So our long-term fund would be for things like that. Now let's just talk about the results of the annual appeal. The goal we had set was $153,500, and so far we've got $75,000 in monthly pledges, and one-time gifts have come to essentially $70,000, so that's $144,700, or 94% of our goal. And congratulations to you. Okay, $300 more. So, I know Jill is ecstatic, and I think we all appreciated the skits and all the other things that went along with the campaign. Essentially, we can be pretty sure that in the remaining months of the year, some folks will come along to become supporters, and they will get us over to our target. It's happened. We know that that's likely to happen. And now we have 91 supporter families that's signed up for monthly donations, and that's there's 24 new ones this year. So supporter pledges are welcomed any time of year, and I'm sure Jill can give you the paperwork if you haven't done it yet. And so that concludes our report. Everything we do here, almost everything we do here, costs some funds, costs some money, so we depend on generosity, both financially and volunteer work. So thank you, and keep up the good work. And now we're open for questions. Don Brown?
You know, some of us are getting older,
And a lot of younger people are going to die before older people do. So is there any way to make a donation in our will to Kadampa Center? Is there any mechanism for that?
Yes, indeed. That's why we have our Vanguard account. And, of course, your will could just leave something to Kadampa Center to the general account, but you could also direct it to our stock market account. That's one of the reasons why we've established it, with the thought it's being invested in, a kind of a mixed stock and bond fund that we hope will grow 7 or 8% a year on the average over the years. And so, if any money is directed in there, that's where we have the $3,000 now. And it would be lovely if someone wrote their will and gave us a bequest and said, put it in the long-term development fund, and then the board would follow, you know, those instructions and do it. And, yes, that, it's all set up.
I'm going to be following some footsteps that someone else developed for long-term planning this year. So I'm going to look into that and start promoting it in different ways. So it'll go out with documentation and things and how to do that.
Please. Is there any plans for support for our nuns? For the...
I would sure like to speak about that for a moment. We have four nuns here now, and I know as a board member, I feel like we are a bit remiss, but we have not felt like we have the money to support them. And so they are not employees. They don't receive any kind of benefits at all, except maybe individual donations from members who appreciate all the work they do. So at the moment, they are volunteers. We did set aside in this year's budget up to $5,000 for some kind of program, and the board hasn't decided yet exactly how to try to award that. But at the moment, we're just thankful they're here and they're volunteering. And we are thinking about what to do, but we have not reached a conclusion. I think that would be the way to say it.
Got an idea on that. If this is just really raw, Robbie and I have talked just a touch about it, so it's just an idea, but I'd like to communicate with some of the nuns, Venerable Rena, when she comes, and some of the other nuns that have strong beliefs in how to support the Sangha, do a little bit of interviewing there, compile some notes, and compile some ways in which we can support, and then chew it over, get a committee together, talk about it, and then bring it here and decide and maybe have ways in which we can do education on how to support. We don't know what that looks like yet, but I want you to know that's another thing that I'm thinking about is how to bring it to us. I think people want to know how to do that, and they just don't know what to do. So you can always offer your financial support or any kind of support to the Sangha members directly is most beneficial. Kim?
You do have people who are doing that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we do have some people that, hold on just one second, Kim, that I've talked to directly that are offering an amazing amount of support, and so it's already going out to the nuns. So it's happening. So that's sort of my way is to, like, start something and then ask for permission later. So I kind of got that rolling, so then when we get going, we can say, well, we've already started it. We have a great little nest egg, a start. And so in that way, we can then build on what we've started. So I think that that's going to – a lot of people have asked about that, so it's coming for this year.
Also, our Sangha Appreciation Day, the first Sunday of next month, will be an opportunity to kind of raise the consciousness of our members to support their nuns, and it'll be an opportunity to make offerings for our nuns.
Yeah, good. Kim?
I'm wondering if it would be useful for the center to do some research on how other centers support their Sangha. I don't know if we're what we do/do not do is mainstream, or if we are below the curve. So if there are centers out there that already have a structure in place, I think it would be good to find out what other centers do and how they specifically support the nuns so that we can make ours maybe ahead of the curve.
Well, that's part of the plan of everything that I'm going to try to research in, and I'll be asking. And if you guys already have a heart pull right now, then just talk to me and we'll get started. You know, just start talking about it, create a conversation and create a group and then see what we can do. So if it's something close to your heart, then just speak to me about it.
Is part of this addressing the issue of people offering to support Sangha so it falls under the umbrella of a tax-deductible donation?
Yeah, so that's part of the big picture is how to make it all tax-deductible. So that's everything I'm going to be investigating, looking into how to make this whole thing a program instead of just, hey, we should do that. You know, I think right now we all want to do something. We don't know what it looks like. So that's part of the investigation is how we can do it in a healthy, legal, make everything supportive in the best way possible. So, yes, to try to make it tax-deductible is part of the plan, too, because we've been talking about it. What else?
Any other questions?
Okay, you may be adjourned.
Close the meeting.